Welcome to the Claim Hunters. I am Chris Tidball, an executive claim consultant with Subro IQ, where we routinely find our clients significant amounts of trapped cash. On our show, we will explore the epidemic of trapped cash across not only the insurance industry, but the global business landscape. Our guests bring a unique perspective on challenges faced by businesses that impact their bottom line. We believe that everyone has a great story to tell, and this is the forum to tell it. We hope you enjoyed today's episode and stick around to learn more about how you can be a guest in 20 minutes or less. Welcome to the Claim Hunter Podcast. My name is Chris Tidball and I'm your host, and I'm here with Brian Gwynn, who is with Avalon AI.
Yes.
Welcome to the show, Brian.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Yeah.
It's good to be here.
So Avalon AI, well, I mean, it sounds like an AI company.
Yes.
And AI is a big topic right now.
Yes, sir.
What's Avalon AI?
Sure. So we're building AI agents to help with claims operations teams.
Okay.
Back office work. So the two main pillars of it are communications and then document and file processing.
Okay.
So on the communications piece, we have voice agents that handle routine inbound and outbound phone calls,
okay,
as well as emails and faxes and things like that. And then on the document processing side, we have agents that structure unstructured data, things like medical records and other claims files, so make them a lot easier to work with, analyze them, and process them. So
okay, so I'm a customer of ABC Insurance Company.
Sure.
I've got a question on my claim.
Yeah.
I used to just pick up the phone and call an adjuster.
Uh-huh.
What am I doing now?
Well, we do have AI agents,
okay,
voice agents that will pick up the phone and answer the questions. So I don't know if you've heard the latest voice agents. They've now gotten quite realistic,
right,
and sophisticated. So they have a knowledge base that they can tap into. We can integrate with different claims management systems so they can,
okay,
look up information about,
wow,
the claim and answer the more, especially like the more routine kind of questions,
right,
so that adjusters can then focus on the more strategic and kind of higher value.
Okay. So is that the plan with AI agents, is not necessarily to replace adjusters, but to make them more efficient,
correct,
more effective at what they do?
Correct.
Yeah. So here's an interesting question. Can an AI agent actually negotiate a claim?
What's an example claim or negotiation there?
Yeah. So you've got a car that's in a body shop, and an estimate was written for,
yeah,
whatever, $5,000,
yeah,
and it called for 5 hours of repair on the quarter panel.
Yeah.
The shop calls up and says, nah, I need like 7 hours.
Yeah.
Can the agent negotiate? I think you only need 6 hours.
Yeah, I mean, it could theoretically.
Yeah.
We haven't done that use case in particular,
okay,
yet. But yeah, we've done very similar things like that, like outbound phone calls to,
okay,
different parties. And I think that's definitely something within the realm of what they're capable,
really,
of doing. Yeah.
So take a little more complex.
Okay.
I'm an attorney.
Yeah.
And my client was injured in a car accident.
Mm-hmm.
And it's time to settle the case. I sent a demand over for $50,000 for,
yeah,
my client's injuries.
Yeah.
And you have all the proofs now.
Right.
Presumably the AI agent can go through all of that.
Yes.
Do they have the capability of actually negotiating back with the attorney? I reviewed your medical bills, and your medical bills were submitted as $15,000, but based upon things like usual and customary pricing, they should only be $5,000.
Yeah.
I mean, can they do
yeah,
like, wow.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. That's, and I think, you know, different customers have different preferences,
sure,
on the level of the human in the loop.
Okay.
So that can kind of be adjusted. So one way you could go about implementing that is have the AI like do all of that research and kind of tee everything up, and
okay,
then still have your adjuster or human team member like have that conversation, so they could be more,
right,
of an analysis agent, and then the conversation is actually being, okay, had by the adjuster, or other customers are like lean further into you know, the agent doing more and more, like actually,
yeah,
having the conversation.
Yeah,
So it kind of depends on preferences there, but
so how would it work in a state? Florida is a good example. You have to be licensed to be an adjuster,
right?
Presumably AI is smart enough to go and actually get a license. Do they have to be licensed?
Right now, no, not to assist with the work,
Okay.
right?
So they're just
So
assisting.
yeah,
Yeah.
exactly. So yeah, right now we are, yeah, assisting with the work, and think of it almost like a claims assistant.
Yeah.
Yeah, we have thought about down the line, like, yeah, having it take the
Yeah.
test and getting like licensed in a way, like
Right.
as things progress. But I think at this stage it's more of a digital teammate that
Right.
is helping, but then you still need the licensed
Yeah.
adjuster to yeah, be in the loop at all times, and signing off where
Right.
required by like regulations or
Yeah, I mean
whatever.
it's fascinating where, watching things evolve,
Yeah.
right? I mean, it seems like just yesterday, we're talking about social media and that's been around what, like 15, 20 years now. Seems like AI is kind of the new kid on the block, but it seems like it's evolving faster,
Yeah.
right? I mean, it's taken a while. So, going on that same tangent of the licensed adjuster, there was a recent verdict that came down involving social media out
Yeah.
in California, big verdict. Based on some adverse effect of social media on people.
Yeah.
So think of the licensed adjuster making a mistake, right? So today, in today's world, an adjuster goofs up, the carrier's on the hook.
Yeah.
But now you've got your AI tool.
Right.
Your AI agent made the mistake.
Yeah.
So how does liability play out there? I mean, is the AI company on the hook for the damages?
Right. I mean, yeah, it'll definitely be an interesting legal realm to explore, to be tried out. I think that is where the importance comes in of having the human extremely in the loop at the
Right.
start, especially as you're training the AI to be more and more capable.
Right.
And then as you trust the AI and has a higher and higher accuracy threshold,
Right.
and track record, you take the human less and less in the loop,
Right.
but still are like, there to like sign off on the work that it's doing.
Right.
And I think it is also kind of claim type dependent. So maybe for less complex claims, it would be okay for the AI adjuster to be doing more of that work, but in
Right.
more complex claims, like then you would need more human review, and yeah, especially when it comes into, yeah, complex decision making and
Yeah.
thing like that. So I think it's going to be an interesting realm to explore, and the way to kind of mitigate risk there
Right.
is to adopt incrementally and, set goals, achieve those, set another goal, and incrementally adopt over
Right.
time.
So one of the things that comes up with AI a lot is it's going to take everyone's jobs,
Yeah.
right? What's the reality there? What's it really going to do?
Yeah, I don't think it will. I think that as many folks in the claims industry know, there's a lot of work to be done right now
Sure.
in the claims industry. And I think the direction that will head is that people are going to become much more efficient. The claimant's experience
Right.
is going to become much, much better.
Yeah.
Be waiting less time. Claims are going to be moving faster. You're going to be able to talk to someone instantly to answer all of your questions.
Right.
And I think that the worries about job loss are overblown. And then there's also an element of a shortage of workers for these roles. So there's a mass
Oh, yeah.
shortage of claims adjusters in the US.
Yep.
A lot of them are aging and retiring, and there are
Yes.
many young folks signing up for these roles. So especially in this industry, we think of it almost as, yeah, as like backfilling in this
Yeah.
aging workforce, and
That's a really good point
yeah.
because I mean there are, they say that claims adjusters, if you look across all professions, they're retiring at the fastest rate of any profession that's out there. And that's a huge amount of knowledge that's being lost. And if you can't transfer that knowledge to a new generation, you have a lost generation. So essentially, I see your point about the backfilling because, I mean, I'm just amazed. Like when I use like chat or something, I mean, it's just like the amount of stuff that it just gets and the percentage of the stuff that it actually gets right. Like I'll try to, I use it to help me write, articles and stuff. And like I'll know in my head what the numbers should be and it will give me those numbers. And I'll even give it wrong numbers sometimes and it will correct me and give me right numbers. So it's, pretty phenomenal. I mean, so where do you see Where do you see us in 5 years?
In 5 years. So I think that where we are now is that agents are able to handle longer and longer running tasks.
Right.
And that's an even a recent development in the last 3 months. So
Okay.
very recently, they went from being able to do, I don't know, 3 or 4 hour long tasks
Right.
to 12 hour long tasks,
Oh.
and even and it's exponentially increasing.
Okay.
So where we are right now is that we are building these agents that, as you mentioned before, they're now extremely intelligent,
Yeah.
and you can really trust them in their cognitive ability. They're able to reason
Right.
like over complex tasks and now over a long period of time. So I think where we are going now is we are now creating actually useful digital teammates that can
Right.
run over a long period of time. So even as a claim progresses over
Right.
weeks and months, it can have a memory of that claim and what happened last time, and continually assisting over long periods of time. So that's where we are
Wow.
now. And so I think the way it will evolve is starting as like creating an actually useful digital assistant in the next couple
Right.
of years. And then 5 years from now, it'll be a fully capable, I would say, adjuster teammate. So go from just
Right.
an assistant where it's kind of a trainee in a way, but
Right.
it still needs a lot of handholding. And then I think within 5 years, you'll be able to lean on the AI like think of it as like one of the most experienced adjusters that knows all of the state regulations extremely
Right.
well, all of compliance aspects and like the claims history
Right.
of risks, right?
Yeah.
Like risky claims and how to mitigate those. So you can think of it as like an expert adjuster
Yeah.
teammate that's fully capable. That's think I think where we'll be in 5 years.
So I can take, I can take a AI agent now. And one of the challenges an adjuster might have is they get medical bills in from a a doctor or from an attorney, and they have to, spend a lot of time and use a lot of resources to figure out what should have been paid. I could potentially, in states, say, well, there's a fee schedule. I can program that fee schedule in the AI agent and feed those bills in, and it instantly it's going to tell me what the bills should be. I
Yes,
mean, that's.
absolutely. Yeah, medical records and bills have been one of our top use cases.
Yeah.
It's, as you know, very thorny problem, tons of records to pore
Yeah.
over, and sometimes they're multiple year long running claims.
Right.
So it's a very complex history of injuries and the road to recovery.
Right.
So that's been a very good use case because it's such a thorny, difficult problem
Right.
that any value the AI can add in terms of, and they're very good at analyzing a large amount of information that
Oh,
would be
yeah.
very, it would take hours or days for a human to like pore over all
Right.
those records, and the AI can do that in a matter of minutes even. So that's been one of our top use cases.
Yeah. So how about, so maybe not in 5 years, but maybe it'll take longer, but you're going to have AI, but in a physical form, really a robot, right? So today I might send an adjuster out to a body shop. They're going to go look at a car. They're going to write down, figure what the damages are. They're going to look up the parts prices, all that kind of stuff. So I could send an AI robot in that already has the parts prices in its brain, and it could literally scan all the damage on the car, and it could write out an estimate that's 100% accurate. There would have to be no negotiations at all.
The one thing I would caveat with this is that robotics are on a definitely a longer time scale
Okay.
than kind of digital AI,
Okay.
right? So the advancements in digital AI have been extremely exponentially fast.
Right.
But with robotics, there's a lot of cool demo videos and things like
Yeah.
that. But from my understanding, talking to my friends in robotics, it takes a full team a lot of time to create that really cool demo video. But
Right.
once you put them into the real world, there's so many edge cases,
Yeah.
and it's really difficult to create like this humanoid robot that could handle all the complexities of the real world. So I will say that the robotics aspect, unless we get a lot of help from AI in designing the next version of robotics, which is possible.
Yeah.
But in the current state, until that happens, from my understanding, that the timelines for that are a little bit longer. So yeah, it could be
Okay.
more of that like 10 plus years until we get to that point. But theoretically, absolutely. That's that like we you're talking about like inspections would be one of the top first use cases for I think robotics in place.
Yeah, I mean, it's honestly, it's fascinating.
Yeah.
The whole thing. I mean, I think back to like when I was a kid. I mean, we had a show called The Jetsons.
Yeah.
You ever see The
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Jetsons? So, you know, Rosie, the maid. It's like, I mean, I want one of those.
Yeah.
It'd be kind of
Everyone
cool.
wants one. Yeah.
So you gotta wonder how long it's gonna take for that to actually, you
Yeah.
know, actually happen. Like, is it gonna happen in the next, 50 years?
Yeah, I mean, definitely the next 50, I would say.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, I think that's where we're headed, and I think that will unlock a lot of value for people, and yeah, expand access to something that would otherwise only be reserved for the very, very rich, right?
Right.
To be able to have this assistant that can help you with your life, and for example, helping like elderly people need
Right.
a lot of help.
Oh
So
yeah.
I think, yeah, it's going to have a massive impact once
So,
fully
how about
done.
legislative guardrails,
Yeah.
right? So AI is kind of open, right? It's kind of the Wild West, right? I mean, it's kind of there, and people are just doing it. They're
Yeah.
pushing stuff out.
Yeah.
Some pretty cool stuff. There's going to be some bad things that happen,
Yeah.
no question. Do you think there is going to be a need for some type of oversight, federal, state, what have you, in the
Yeah.
world of AI?
I think there certainly will be at some point and done in the right way, right? So I
Yeah.
think right now regulators are balancing the need to regulate and
Right.
protect against downsides, but also not to overregulate, which then
Right.
can kill innovation. And that's kind of what you've seen, for
Yeah.
example, in Europe, they have a ton of regulations. You know, they're the first to regulate AI. But if you look at the companies there compared to the US companies
Yeah.
or China, which has less AI regulations,
Right.
they're not even close in terms of
Right.
coming out with the frontier models and robotics and things like that. So I think that's the trade-off that's being considered. But it definitely will be needed eventually. But I think it's about waiting and seeing to make sure that the correct regulations are made where it is protecting the public against downsides without like throttling innovations.
Yeah, no, I makes perfect sense. So if people want to learn more about Avalon AI, what do they do? Where do they go?
Yeah, so you can check out our website at avalon.ai. It's two L's, AVALLON.ai.
Okay.
And yeah, that'll give the most information. We have some demos there, and you can book a meeting to speak with me or one of the team members if you want to
Okay.
talk more. And we'll be here at CLM. We have a booth. So come by and say hello there as well.
Yeah, no, that's great. Thank you so much for
So
joining me on the
yeah,
show.
thanks for hosting me. It's great to chat.
Absolutely.
All right.
Thank you for joining the Claim Hunters. We hope you enjoyed our show. If you would like to share your story, head on over to subroiq.com and click the YouTube button.